I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to our scripture reading, or it's also printed there in your bulletin if you would prefer a brief one today, as we are continuing in our series in the book of Hebrews. We're at chapter 2, and this is the application of what the author shared last week, where he talked about the supremacy of Jesus over angels. So what? Well, here's the so what. And essentially what he's going to tell us is listen to Jesus. Pay attention to him. So Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of God. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. May God bless to our hearts this reading of his word. This passage is the first of many warnings that occur throughout the book of Hebrews. And I'm struck in this passage by this warning of apostasy. He doesn't use the word apostasy, but that's what this is talking about. Apostasy is when a person falls away from the Christian faith. And what I'm struck by here is the language used to describe that, particularly two words: drifting and neglect. The striking thing to me about those words is that they are passive words. They're not words of overt rebellion against the Lord, but rather simply words of inaction, of doing nothing, of letting things just take their regular course. And the result of doing so is apostasy. I came across a quote this week from C.S. Lewis and found that he agrees. I always like it when C.S. Lewis agrees with me, or rather, I agree with him. Lewis said, "And as a matter of fact, if you examined 100 people who had lost their faith in Christianity, I wonder how many of them would turn out to have been reasoned out of it by honest argument. Do not most people simply drift away?" That's what this passage would suggest. We seem to have in our nation today an abundance of Pierres. Do you know that children's story by Maurice Sendak, Pierre? Pierre could only say three words: "I don't care." His mother would wake him up and say, "What do you want for breakfast, Pierre?" "I don't care." "Do you want some cream of wheat?" "I don't care." And everything that his mother said to him, everything his father said to him, he answered with the same three words. One day a lion comes to Pierre and says, "Pierre, I'm going to eat you." To which Pierre responds, "I don't care." So the lion ate him. And his parents discover the deed and take him to the doctor, and the doctor takes him and shakes him, and Pierre pops out of the lion again, and he's a transformed being, a little boy. He says, "Now I care." There are many Pierres in our world today, and the result of such apathy when it comes to spiritual things is apostasy. That's what this warning is about. And caring takes the form of what we read in verse 1. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. So We're going to look more significantly at just two things today, the danger and the remedy. The danger of apostasy and the remedy for it. So the danger, as I indicated earlier, is communicated by the use of two terms, drifting and neglect. So drifting is a nautical term. It's what happens when a boat that's been tied up at a dock and someone comes along and takes that mooring rope and releases it from the cleat, and the boat is free to drift, and it does. If the boat is on a lake, not a whole lot of damage is done by that drifting. But what if the boat is 10 miles upriver from Niagara Falls? The drifting then will be deadly. And drifting, the thing about it is that it's imperceptible while it's happening. To drift is simply to go with the current. And the result is that there's no awareness of movement because you're just doing nothing and just floating along with everything else. And the danger of it only becomes evident when it's too late to do anything about it. So the author tells us that's the way that people fall away from Christ. It's just that imperceptible doing nothing that eventually leads to catastrophic results. Then the second word is this word neglect. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? To neglect something is to do nothing when you should be doing something. So if you neglect the maintenance on your car, you know, nothing may happen initially, but in time you will find yourself with a car that doesn't work very well, if at all. You have neglected something that should not have been neglected. It's simply a word of inaction. And the author tells us to return to that analogy of being unmoored and 10 miles upriver from Niagara Falls, that those who are spiritually apathetic today are in grave danger. And they're unaware of the catastrophe looming ahead. So our author knows full well about this danger, and so he's warning us of it. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That's just another way of saying there is no escape for those who are apathetic, for those who neglect what should not be neglected. There is no escape. And to hammer that point home, he contrasts again the Word of God in the Old Testament and the Word of God in the New Testament. He says in the Old Testament, you know, it came by mediation of angels. It was God's Word, but angels were the instruments God used to bring forth the law of Moses. And he points out that the neglect of that law was serious indeed. It was met with the death penalty in most cases. And then he says, how much more important is it to listen now to the words of the New Testament through Jesus? Because Jesus is greater than the angels, the point of chapter 1. So if in the previous Old Testament era, the consequences were serious, how much more will they be a matter of severity in this era? So he says, listen, pay attention. The application for this, for us, is simply to take heed to this warning. So the danger, I think, for us is to say this warning applies to someone else. That could never happen to me. If that is your attitude, I would suggest to you, you're probably already drifting. You're probably headed to the falls. You've been unmoored from Jesus, and you're in grave danger. The mature response for the Christian is to say, I could fall too. It's to have that humility that recognizes your own sin nature, that recognizes your proclivity to do nothing, to coast, to drift. Didn't Paul teach that same thing when he said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall? Robertson McQuilkin is former president of Columbia University, a man known because he's written about this for resigning his position as president prematurely. He was still a relatively young man, in order to care for his wife who had early onset Alzheimer's. Very mature, godly man. And he once prayed this prayer: I fear the dark specter may come too soon, or do I mean too late, that I should end before I finish, or finish but not well, that I should stain your honor, shame your name, grieve your loving heart. Few, they tell me, finish well. Lord, let me get home before dark. This godly, mature man had a deep sense that I too might fall. Oh God, may it not be so. I think this is a word that is especially needful today in our COVID era. And I realize I'm somewhat preaching to the choir here, but I remember when this whole thing started, 16, 18 months ago, however long it was now, one of the fears in my heart was that people would drift away. And, we were able, by God's grace, to start the live streaming fairly soon when this pandemic happened, for which I'm grateful, and many people are grateful. It kept them connected to the church. But I think we've all realized there's been a danger in that. It's kind of a little too easy to worship in your pajamas at home. Don't need to shower before you do that. Don't need to get dressed. Don't need to get in the car and go anywhere. And after a time, the live streaming gets a little stale, and then it's kind of easy. Well, maybe I'll skip it today. And before you know it, that can become a habit. And you might wake up and realize, I've become unmoored to Jesus. I have drifted. I have been neglecting my salvation. And so the author here wants to shake us up. He wants to wake us up to realize our danger. That I too, unless I'm diligent, unless I'm careful to hold on to Jesus, I too can fall. I need to feel my danger. Do you feel your danger? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt danger? Maybe it's been, you're on the edge of a cliff and it just hits you all of a sudden. I could fall off of this thing. And what's your response when that happens? You just want to grab something stable. You want to back off from the edge of that. You feel that danger. We need to feel our danger. Not that our hearts would be filled with fear, but instead that we would run to the remedy, who is Jesus. And that's where the author goes next, telling us we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. And it's obvious what he's talking about is what we've heard from Jesus, the message of salvation, the good news of the kingdom that we've heard from Jesus. We are saved. If the sermon title is Death by Apathy, where's the salvation? The salvation is by hearing. It's by receiving all the words of Jesus, not picking and choosing the words we like while ignoring the ones we don't like, but receiving all the words of Jesus. The words of his love, the words of his judgment. You know, Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else in the Bible by far. He spoke more than everyone else in the Bible combined. He spoke plainly and severely about words of judgment. I had another conversation this week with a father of children, adult children, who have wandered from the Lord. I've had too many of these conversations. And they're all very similar. I will be told by this concerned father who wants me to pray for his children, which I do, that, you know, they haven't openly rebelled against the Lord. They've just said, you know, the church is just irrelevant. They're indifferent to the church. They are neglecting what the author of Hebrews will tell us later not to neglect, the assembling of ourselves together. And they're just out there drifting somewhere. I've begun wondering, you know, what is the cause of that? Is there some theological root to that problem? And I think there is. And I think it's the way oftentimes in today's evangelical church the word is preached in such a way that emphasis is given to the love of God to the neglect of the judgment of God, so that people no longer feel their danger. I was having lunch with someone else recently who said that the pastor they had growing up was a fire and brimstone preacher. And I thought to myself, you know, a sighting of one of those these days is kind of like a sighting of a unicorn. You don't see very many of those around anymore. What you see a lot of are people who emphasize the love of God and never mention the judgment of God. You know, it just seems like we swing from one extreme, and, you know, fire and brimstone alone without the love of God is not the gospel. The love of God without judgment is not the gospel. Both are required. Jesus spoke both, and so must we. The dangers are real. The remedy in Jesus is real as well. So, what is meant here specifically by paying close attention to what Jesus has said? Does that mean that we just focus on the red letters of the New Testament, you know, the part where Jesus spoke? Well, we definitely need to pay attention to those red letters. But let me remind you that one of the things that's contained in those red letters is Jesus' affirmation of the Old Testament as the Word of God. So if we pay attention to the red letters, we'll also pay attention to the Old Testament, because Jesus believed it was the Word of God. Every single jot and tittle, he said. And let me also remind you that Jesus said and promised his apostles that he would give the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. And that's the truth we have in the balance of the New Testament. So Jesus promised his word through the power of his Spirit, through these apostles, the rest of the New Testament. So essentially we have the whole Bible here that Jesus tells us to pay attention to. And we are to pay attention also to the means he has appointed for that, reading it, but also hearing the Word of God preached. These are the things that keep us from drifting. These are the things that keep us anchored in Jesus. That keep us, because the truth is we're all 10 miles upriver from Niagara Falls. And if those mooring ropes that are keeping us tied to Jesus are loosened, we are all headed for catastrophe. So we pay attention to the Word of God in order to keep ourselves attached, anchored to Jesus, lest we fall as well. And, you know, he goes to great length here to talk about the confidence we can have in God's Word. It was declared by the Lord. It says he says it was attested to us by those who heard. God bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles. And then that, notice that last one. He also bore witness by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will, which is a common way in the New Testament to talk about the body of Christ, the church, the gifts that God gives to the church and distributes. And he says that's part of God's attesting to the reliability of the Word of God. What does that mean specifically? What that means is that you need the church. You need God's people in the church. We need people like what Paul just shared with us, talking about his experience of God's Word. You need the preached Word of God, but you also need all the people of God speaking into your life, each of whom has different insights and perspectives, and we can help one another receive, understand, and appreciate the Word of God. So let me close with a question that people often have about these warnings. So here's the question. Does this danger of apostasy, of falling away, and its prescribed remedy, does it take away our assurance of salvation? Can you have that attitude that Robertson McQuilkin had, Lord, keep me from falling away, and also have assurance of salvation at the same time? And the answer to that question is yes. Assurance of salvation is something that God wants us to have. Jesus promised, remember, that all who are given to him, he will hold, and no one and nothing will be able to snatch us out of his hands. So how does this warning fit with that? Simply like this. Part of assurance is to take heed to this warning. It is those who have a solid faith who will also have assurance. And part of having solid faith is to take heed of warnings just like this. Let me give you an illustration I think that'll help you understand, and then I'll close with this. A friend of mine, a PCA pastor, was telling me once about an experience he had as a younger man. He was rock climbing with a buddy of his way out in the middle of nowhere. And he got stuck on a ledge, high up. He couldn't move forward, and he couldn't go back. His climbing partner, thankfully, was not stuck with him and was able to go for help. But it took him hours to get help. So there was my friend. It got dark in the meantime. There he was on this ledge, just clinging to this tiny little ledge. And if he had fallen off it, he would have died. So imagine his attitude. He was full of an awareness of his danger. Imagine his attitude when he began to see lights in the woods approaching him, and it was the rescue team. What do you think his attitude was? Gratitude, relief, help has come. I've been in grave danger, but help has now arrived. That is our situation precisely. We are in grave danger. We are all 10 miles upriver of the Niagara Falls, and our only hope is in the rescue Jesus provides to us. So what is our response? Hold on to Jesus. Be thankful and grateful for his abundant power and strength through which we persevere, through which only we persevere. There is no other way of perseverance. You know, assurance, many times people look to the past for their assurance. Well, you know, I prayed a prayer. I walked an aisle. Notice here, it's all present tense. Pay attention now. If you want assurance of salvation, don't look to something you did in the past. Pay attention now to Jesus. Listen to his voice of assurance. Hold on to Jesus. Let's pray to him. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you that by your power alone, we might be delivered from the danger of falling away ourselves. Lord, would you deliver us from apathy? And I would pray specifically for the adult children of some of whom are children of those in this congregation who have wandered from you and who are just indifferent. They're not overtly rebellious against you, but they're just indifferent. Oh God, would you wake them up to their danger before it's too late, that they might sink their hands deeply into Jesus, resting in him, knowing that he is holding on to them and that that is their only hope. Lord, prevent any from in our church from drifting away during this COVID pandemic. Lord, would you have mercy upon us? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.